Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 110 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. But I'm always joined by my one and only, my friend, my pal, my backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, just the day before Thanksgiving and yes. hanging in there, and episode 110 and Two Legs takes a new spin with it for a new episode here today.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, before we get into our show today, we're going to be talking about Bruce Mouse, which you have a little poster right there to show here. And yeah, right there. There it is. Very cool.
Thank you very much, Mitch Axelrod.
Who had a few copies left, and we both grabbed a copy. So that was really cool. So, but anyways, before we get into that, we'll just briefly talk about the McCartney 3 news lately. If you haven't watched our live videos from the last couple of days, which we've been doing live stuff now. We've been doing a new series called Rank the Tracks, which we did a McCartney. We did Ram. So we're going to continue doing that. So check out our YouTube channel and please subscribe to that so you can get notified when we post new videos and we are live, because we are doing those Ranking the Tracks live. That's right, we're doing those live, so we've had a lot of fun doing those. We've had a lot of people join us and making their comments, and we've really had a good time doing it. So if you can, please join us live and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can get notified before that or after that. Now we're going to talk about McCartney 3 real quick, because we're getting another vinyl. We're getting the orange vinyl now from U Discover. That's what, 11 different variations now of vinyl, perhaps. And then, now we know we also can get, different configurations of these secret demo versions of the McCartney 3 that you can find on McCartney.com. You can get the dice. I'm definitely getting dice. I don't care how much. I'm 11 copies of McCartney 3 deep right now. So why stop?
Just keep going. 11. You're 11. I think I'm 8.
Okay. All right. So yeah. I'm just going to keep going. But however, now we're finding out that you can also get a Japanese version, which will have four extra tracks.
We don't know if they're demos yet. We suspect that they're demos. If somebody can maybe tell us if they are, I want to think that they are, unless they're four different tracks, but we'll see. That was on, I believe that was a limited run of 3,000 too, which is now sold out.
Right. Sold out. So if you didn't get a chance to get it, you are SOL. You're going to be paying big bucks on eBay now. But to be honest with you though, Andy, I don't care about all the different variations. I mean, that's to be expected. I think I'm more irritated by the fact that we're not seeing the set list. We're not seeing what's actually on, these CDs to make sure.
What do you mean?
Because if we don't know if the
you're talking about
the Japanese version are going to be the same four tracks,
right? In terms of the secret demos that are on.
Correct.
Well, that's
chance you take. I know that, but I mean, it would be nice for people to know
why they're called secret demos.
That's right.
Wouldn't be a secret, if he told you.
I hear you. But anyways, whatever. It would be nice. But we know there's a cassette out coming. I even saw a picture somewhere where we're getting the songbook that's coming with the CD as well.
Right. So a songbook as well too.
Right. And I don't know if the songbooks ever came with CDs before.
I don't know. I don't think they have. Right? I mean, as a bundle, I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's not. So, and I think it looks like that's only available in the UK right now, from what I saw. So looks, I think that was like on Twitter.
And then another video trailer dropped today, the day that we're recording this.
Yes.
Video trailer number two.
Kiss of Venus, a couple seconds of the
Kiss of Venus track.
Yeah, and that was really good. I liked it. I mean, it's told the story of the McCartney trilogy for the most part. As of right now, it's a trilogy. We don't know if there'll ever be a McCartney 4, but...
You never know.
So, that's an update on all of the McCartney 3 news happenings going on. It's nonstop. I'm super excited. you know, it's you know, it gets pushed back to the 18th, but my excitement is still high because what we got to listen to two tracks, you know, Find My Way and Winter Bird / When Winter Comes. So that those two, listening to those two tracks just really, really made my excitement level even higher. So I'm really
same here, brother.
Yeah. So on to today's show, we are doing the Bruce McMouse show. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be playing the episode and we're going to be, you know, talking a little bit about it. We'll be giving our comments about the show itself, the live shows, you know, and or the live performances, giving our thoughts. Now, I do want to say that there was not really a lot of information, you know, given out for the Bruce McMouse show on the box set here, because that's where you're going to get this. You're going to get this on the Paul Red Rose Speedway
box
set.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you do get those original sketches that we'll be talking about in a few minutes. Well, you get the dialogue sheet, which we'll be going over in a little bit as well. But you don't. It didn't really come with any text regarding, you know, when it was made, you know, why it was you know, canned and put on the shelf. But I do want to give a shout out to our buddy Adrian Sinclair, who him and Alan Cozen, they are working on the McCartney Legacy right now, and just the information I got on the Bruce McMouse show, I think everybody is going to be really happy with what they have in volume one of their McCartney Legacy series. So really looking forward to that next year as well. So we got a ton of information that Adrian was so nice to give regarding the Bruce McMouse show. So I'll be going over some of that info while we're playing the show.
Yeah. And you can follow along with your script here if you want.
Yeah, the good old script. Yeah, not really much of a script, though, is it?
No.
I kind of feel well. No, we'll save our thoughts when for.
Well, this was a much often talked about thing that we heard about in the over McCartney's history. Very, you know, you'd read about it in books and how it was supposed to be a film, and but there was really scant stuff written about it. We didn't really know. Oh, it was an animated thing with a mouse. Well, what else?
Right.
Now, you know, now you got it. You know, you've got a standard DVD and a Blu-ray in the Speedway bundle from 2018.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's amazing quality. It's top shelf quality, as usual with this kind of stuff and the care. But now that we have the context and a little history,
That's
going to help as well too, moving forward and kind of tell people a little bit about this forgotten thing and maybe why it didn't come out at the time.
Well, I do think that, you know, after watching it, you know, we can get a sense why it didn't come out at the time. But, you know, just to understand, you know, what it is, what the reasons were, and then you watch it and you say, okay, maybe this wasn't the greatest idea.
I think 1972, though, to do an animated and live action thing together is pretty cool. I know it's cheesy.
I mean, I think it was a pretty good idea, but you know, it's McCartney doing his kid thing. You know, we know he loves animated films. You know, he's talked about that. You know, but how did the other members feel about it, you think? You know, here he is, you know, doing, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they're going through that, and now they're going through this, you know, this cartoon, you know, doing, you know, during live shows.
They probably hated it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they probably they didn't enjoy it. Whatever, but I don't know. I mean, I'm part of a band with McCartney. The last thing I'm thinking, okay, we're going to end up doing a TV show with a cartoon mouse running around all over the place.
But you're playing with Paul McCartney, and I guess they were able to forgo a lot of that stuff for what he wanted to do. And full disclosure, if you've not seen this film, this is Paul when the film opens and certain scenes of the concert, this is full on mullet mode McCartney from like 73. Full on mullet.
Full
like
on
not
mullet.
Not just like long hair.
Right.
This is like
peak mullet.
Peak mullet time.
Yeah.
Red Rose Speedway, like the mullet of all mullets.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, Paul, but it was a mullet and a half, man. Damn.
All right, so let's hit play and let's see what we can.
Right, we're gonna just play this data. We're not gonna do 5.1 because
no,
we'll watch it and here we go.
Yeah, and on with my show, he says. So the show itself was evolved over.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. Look at that.
Look at that thing.
Oh my gosh. God. And we'll be seeing a lot more of that throughout the show too.
Oh yeah.
You know, cool, because
that's a cool little wink shirt that Denny's got on there.
I wonder if that's the same one that Paul was wearing. but anyways, I know it looks like it's kind of patchy right now, but it, you know, hopefully that'll improve or whatnot. But this whole thing evolved over an 18-month period. Bruce McMouse himself was conceived in the West Indies while they were on vacation. Paul, Linda were on vacation, and these sketches that we got, you know, in the box set, they were sketched at the same place where Linda took the picture of the bowl of cherries for the McCartney album.
Right.
You know, so pretty cool here. So we see it's actual. This is the actual. If you can see
music
it.
Recorded by Alan Parsons.
Yes, the Alan Parsons. Some names on here that we'll be going over throughout the show too. A couple important names. You know, a couple little controversy there with what the animated director as well. We'll go over that in a little bit, but here we go. So, lights out, you know, behind the curtain, you know, getting all that set up too, just took me back to my old job too, when I was a catering chef, because I would always see, you know, the stage, you know, get set up or the stage built, you know, behind the scenes. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And this is something, you know, yeah, we're going to go into Big Barn Bed now. This is totally done, not live.
After the fact.
After the fact.
Yeah. So, you know, they recorded, you know, they at the last minute, Paul decided, okay, we're going to record the last four or five shows of the tour. So they got some people lined up for that. And, you know, this was during the 72 tour, the Wings Over Europe.
Yeah. It'd be nice. Well, I'm sure we'll find out in the McCartney Legacy, the actual dates where
right.
they were pulled from. Yeah. And I'm sure that's already available now, but
probably,
you know, it's just amazing to think that this stuff has been professionally shot and sitting in the cans for 45,
right.
50 years almost.
Right. You know. More sketches were also were done at the you know MPL studios in you know in London. So
Soho Square, baby.
Soho Square, yep.
Soho Square.
Soho Square. So
I went. Yeah, it's a good place to go.
Yeah, all these were part of the Red Rose Speedway archive box set. So you can check those out if you have them. So obviously, like we said before, they filmed everything. They thought it was a little, you know, boring in places, so they went back and they filmed a couple tunes here, like this one right here, because you can tell just right off the bat that this is not live. You got doesn't go with the rest of the tour. You can see Paul has his longer, you know, haircut in there. So,
but then other times in this, he's got the shorter hair.
Yeah, because that's part of the actual tour.
Right. So this was definitely done later, probably close to the album when the album was coming out properly.
Correct. Yeah, because if you look at it, really, there's really only one song, from Red Rose Speedway, and that's My Love. You know, the rest of the tracks, you know, would have maybe been on Red Rose. Some of the tracks would have been on Red Rose Speedway if it was.
Yeah, I Would Only Smile. Album. Right. Yeah. Which we, we're doing that album live, rank the tracks, probably
soon.
two weeks.
A couple weeks, yeah.
That'll be a fun one, because that's,
So this is introducing the band pretty much, and then pretty soon it's going to lead us to the hole under the stage, and we will be introduced to the Bruce McMouse family.
Yeah, I think I heard an interview with Denny when the box set came out, and Paul sent him, you know, one of the...
Right.
He sent him the set, the live box set, which was cool. I'm sure that Denny appreciated that. You know, I don't know if he sent one to everybody, but him and Paul seem to have a good relationship now.
Right.
Which is cool. I mean, I'm right. sure Denny sees this stuff now. He's like, wow. We did yeah. this. We did this stuff.
So, you know, again, this part is, it was recorded, this was filmed later. You know, Paul is wearing, you know, a lot of the same, a couple of the same shirts that he wore during the tour. And then now here we go.
Here
we're going
go.
Into the hole, and we're going to gonna see a pet spider here pretty soon. And yeah, because, you know, these original sketches, you also see a walrus, you know, so you would imagine that there was going to be a walrus involved here, but yeah, but there's a spider.
Yeah.
The animation looks okay. You know, it's not terrible. I've seen worse animation, you know? So now we're getting reintroduced to the McMouse family. We see Bruce there with his wife, Yvonne, which we know in later years, you know, Paul would do a song titled Yvonne, which, you know, basically nothing to do with this.
Yvonne.
Yeah. Thank you. And then I believe that was SWAT that we just saw.
Right.
Here's Spoonie. And then in a few seconds, and there is Soily, which again, now is another, you know, McCartney track, you know, and that would be cool because they did perform Soily did during this tour. So it would have been cool if they included that, you know, with this show. So
Paul does the voice of him, right?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. So here we go. So the McMouse family got Bruce is performed by a gentleman named Derek Goller, I believe. Yvonne is Pat Comers. Soily, I'm thinking that's Paul because they are credited. Paul and Linda are credited as voices in this show. Swoony, who we saw, I'm thinking that it was Linda.
Linda.
And in this SWAT here, the little guy, the smart one, is Derek Nemo, I believe. And if you listen to this, he sounds a lot like Jeremy from Yellow Submarine.
Yeah.
And I did the research, but it's not the same person. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they're finishing up Big Barn Bed here.
No, now Eat at Home now.
Is it we're on Eat at Home now?
This is Eat at Home, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the second best song on RIM.
Yeah. Anyways, what you're going to see is a bits and pieces. Now it's going to go back between live. See right there.
Yeah, see? Now long hair.
And now long hair. Yeah, now short hair. Yeah, so you're going back and forth, you know. So, I guess the band was a little kind of embarrassed about how the performance is on here. They didn't really think it was their playing was great. And then looking, and then there you go, we got long hair Paul. And looking back on it, so they went back into a stage and they filmed some bits and pieces, just to kind of make everything flow a little bit more.
Yeah.
So there's the smart kid right there, and voila, the table is now set. Linda's really cool throughout this whole thing. She's very animated. Her and Henry are actually really very animated throughout this whole show.
I just like what's the one mouse, the guy, the one that Paul does? Who's that?
Oh, Swoony or Soily. Sorry, Soily.
Is he the one that comes in and does the screaming? Yeah, the wings,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, it's the wings, man.
That's, I'm rooting for him. That's Paul. That's so Paul.
Yeah. It's got to be, yeah. But you know, okay. So you're getting introduced to the family. There's not much interaction between the mice and the band just yet. That'll come later. But I gotta tell you, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Eat at Home on RAM, I do dig their live version.
This live version here.
Yeah, it really fits that particular band, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, but Paul, I mean, being the animated, you know, person that he is, fan that he is, I would imagine that, you know, films like Mary Poppins and Bedknobs and Broomsticks were kind of an influence on him because
you
got that, you know, live action and the animation feel.
I want that Blue Wings t-shirt. I want that.
Oh, isn't that cool?
I want that shirt.
So like I said, this was filmed during the last 4 or 5 dates of the 72 tour, Paul recruited Barry Chaddington,
yes, you know, Barry Chaddington,
to direct the film. His team was assembled at the last minute. Now, the team was also getting ready to film the Olympics right after this.
That's
so
right.
As soon as they got done with this, they went right to Munich, I believe, to
Munich.
To film.
Yeah.
Now, the animated director, that's the story where there'll be a little controversy here. Eric Weiland, he was, like I said, he was the animated director. Paul had given him the original sketches, and then him and his team brought a lot of this to life. Yeah. And those original sketches, which we'll talk about a little later in the film, and how that was a little bit of a controversy there. So
yeah.
So now again, it's we're just getting introduced.
Time for some bebop.
Bebop, yeah. So,
and that's the thing. Like it, we don't know how true that. We don't know if this was done or not. Like, but the audience, you know, the audience, like in terms of like hearing them, like that canned applause.
That had to have been added, you know, that had been controlled, almost like the laugh track in those 60s and 70s comedies.
It has
to
be.
TV comedies, you know what I mean?
It has to be. You listen to the live, and again, the source of the Live Over Europe CD with the box set.
Right.
That's just this. That's just this audio pulled out of this from this video. And it just, I mean, I know the shows were probably very good, but that crowd noise, that ambient crowd noise that we hear throughout all these recordings,
right,
sounds a little fabricated and you know, after the fact. Maybe it's not. Maybe somebody can tell us otherwise. But it just sounds, they're like, oh, we're going to just put this crowd noise in to make it sound like it's, you know, there wasn't, you know, 200 people in the concert.
Right. So bebop, you know, we're going to be talking about this soon on our next Rank the Tracks series. And, you know, again, I think that's another song that I'm not a big fan of on the album, but it works
here,
It works better live than it does on an album, I think.
Yeah, it certainly does, because the band gets to flourish a little bit more.
Right.
A lot. You know, it's different. It's a whole, it's not a controlled, I mean, it's a live recording. So, you know, it's going to kind of have a little different quality than of a traditional student. And then
right.
The vocal, I mean, again, this is like McCartney. All this whole show is McCartney doing his "Oh Darling." Like that's his
vocals. His vocals are very raspy throughout.
Very.
So again, you know, they got the pet spider, and if you looked at sketches throughout here, you can see, and I'll find it here, that there was like a walrus type character, which I wonder here. I got it right here. I wonder if that was going to be original part of the show.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go, my friend. As I dropped one here, hopefully it doesn't bit and rip. But it's cute. I mean, these little the little family here, you know, the Bruce is telling, you know, stories of you know, past experiences on the stage, you know, and the going ons of other shows. So here we go. Here's another part that was recorded later with that wonderful mullet.
And it's, and you know it is, because it's just zoomed in on him. We're not seeing any kind of exterior shots or super wide shots. So we know that that's just totally done after the fact.
Right. A really cool effect here.
Now we cut to some different footage here for the mess. This is the mess.
Yeah, this is the mess. Yeah, and this is another track that just works great live. I've always been a big fan of this song, The Mess.
Oh. Hey, B-side to My Love, man.
Exactly. Great. Yeah.
Live at the Hague. And
I do believe they did record this in the studio, but that if The Mess was going to be on the proposed double album.
It was going to be
It was going to be the live. I think it would have been the live.
Oh, they would have thrown the live cut on?
Yeah. Same with Best Friend. It looked like they were going to use Best Friend live.
Well, that for sure. Yeah.
So, but again, I mean, what are your thoughts on this version of this first incarnation of Wings?
Overall, I think that this set, like everything else, has given this 1971 to 73 its due. I mean, Everybody thinks Wings, and they think the major six, you know, the core lineup, the most successful one, and deservedly so. They garnered the most praise. But man, these are the early Wings sound with Henry and Denny in there, and playing that. You know, that was the first thing. You know,
right. That was, it was more raw feel. I imagine
raw feel. You know, they were still just trying to come together as a band and figure out how are they going to do this? You know, how are they going to become a band and do things and really start from the bottom up? I mean, you know, so, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Paul there. He just didn't want to just become famous and just have a super group and just take over the world. He wanted to start from scratch. It's what he wanted to do from the end of the days of the Beatles. And
he didn't want to rest on his laurels. However, he didn't want to repeat what he had just done.
No. You know,
a few years prior.
No, and it's kind of like it's a win-win for Paul, but you could also say lose-lose, because if he formed a band with like five super musicians, people are going to say, oh, these are just five super talented guys and it should be good. If he does what he did and form a band with a bunch of unknowns, you're going to say, well, this is just Paul McCartney with a bunch of backing people. So how is that fair to him? He had to make his decision to form a band, and by 73, you know, you could see that this lineup was really cooking with these recordings. I mean, they were.
As we look at Henry playing his solo, I think this was definitely some of Henry's best playing right here on this song, on The Mess.
Amazing. I've got so many different shots here pulled from him in the white suit, black shirt.
Right. I mean, they're taken from different, they're taken from different shows.
Yeah. You know. At least, let's not forget, the first time the general public saw any footage from the 72 and, 73 tours would have been that 1986 Paul McCartney special, which was done to promote Press to Play.
Right, right.
You're seeing that on VHS as a kid, watching that, and then all of a sudden they cut to Wings footage, and you're seeing professionally shot footage of Wildlife, which is from this now, we know. And it was like, wow, this pro shot footage of Wildlife? It was like a holy, like, where is that? How did you see that? And then, you know, it was like forever until this came out. It was like the only time you'd see that clip. But hey, there's some pro shot footage of Wildlife and High. But now, you know, now we have it in McMouse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So The Mess is definitely a keeper for me. I've always enjoyed that song. Great rocker.
I think didn't Mitch or somebody see what they did? They did a short film premiere of this, right? In New York or around worldwide at a couple different theaters of Bruce McMouse. Wasn't it shown?
I think it was in 10 theaters across the country, this Bruce McMouse was shown. I think I did look, and I don't think it did play in Arizona, unless I would have went if they did play in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. You know, enough time goes on, people are going to say, what's the movies?
Right. So there we go. There's The Mess, which, again, great track. Great live track. How about that? So now right there, you see this Bruce McMouse show. So now you're thinking, okay, this is going to be for TV, you know. So now we're going to get Paul here to introduce Wildlife, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, that Rickenbacker bass. I wish he would just still go back to playing it, man. Come on.
I think, you know, and it's really cool that we're seeing this footage here that was shown behind, you know, on the back of,
During the performance. During the performance. This is what you see. And this is 1973.
Right.
Two.
Yeah.
Video screens at a live concert, that's something that doesn't really happen on a grand scale.
Right.
So much, much, much later.
Right.
I'm sure, just a projection screen showing some stills, really, some footage. It wasn't elaborate.
And I think it's really cool that he incorporates, you know, humans in with the animals. You know, I think it's really creative there. I mean, as you can see now that they were playing it behind there during live.
This was the footage that they pulled from for the McCartney special in 86. And I remember just seeing that going, wow. And again, Wildlife, I think, to your point, I think this sounds better live than on record.
Yeah, no, I hear. I mean, his vocals on this are tremendous. I mean, that raspy, you know, Rod Stewart, you know, if you will, kind of raspy vocals, I think really fits this track.
Really? You think he sounds like Rod Stewart a little bit?
Just the rap, not really, but I'm just saying that it's the same ballpark with the raspiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
remember too, this is still, he's still very heavily into smoking cigarettes now.
Oh, of course.
And,
yeah.
And those other things too.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is why, and even on, it's, it was pretty prevalent in a lot of his life. I mean, I know Wings Over America, he still has that raspiness when he sings, mm-hmm. but then he right. can sing ballads. So, I mean, he can do, you know, he can suit it to whatever the song is.
No, I mean, he was, yeah, he was at the top of the game in his vocals back then. I mean, he could switch it. He can do raspy and he can do smooth when, you know, when we'll hear My Love, you know.
It's nice when he does talk about this song, the right Wingspan, about how, you know, this is one, they went, there was the song they went to go play it and Linda forgot the chords. You
chords,
know?
Right. That would have been funny if they showed that part. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
But that was actually during the university tour,
yeah,
though,
it was
I'd
the
imagine.
First, yeah, the first, yeah. The first tour, you know. Wings' first flight as opposed to their right. last flight. Yeah. Yeah, but just good camera work here, you know.
No, I think they filmed it. I the way they filmed it was great. I mean, you love those up close shots, the ones from down below, you know, you get the like that crane shot for like right there, you yeah, know, yeah, and he yeah. got it coming in right into Denny Sywell, you know, just like you know, and Let It Be. You know, where he just takes the crane.
Right into
yeah. Ringo.
Yeah, just go right there.
You know, we'll create the shots. We're the band.
We're a big act.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God. Wait till that thing comes out next year and we have to go.
Oh,
that
I'm so pumped. So pumped to talking to Michael Lindsay Hogg about that. I am so
yeah,
glad that
man.
He agreed to come on the show.
That's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I remember too. This remember in terms of like live concerts. Okay, it's the early '70s. This is still years before Shoko comes out, designing massive lightings and mm-hmm. you know programming lights that like they use for Jenna. This is just basic, you know, stage lighting and go. You right. know, you got some basic lights, but there was no way. The production of a show is so. This is so very limited early days of like a live performance. You know. Mm. Mm-hmm. The spotlights and stuff like that. It was just light it up the stage and go, you know?
Right.
Behind the drum shot, very good.
Look at those heels on the boots that Denny was wearing.
I mean, even look, like the microphones have duct tape around them. That's just
right.
supposed to show you how, like, this is just, you know, lo-fi, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this. There was there a couple of amps there. I mean, that's right. it.
Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, they don't do the whole 6 minutes worth of this song, so they cut it back because now I think we're going to be switching into Mary Had a Little Lamb here in a second.
Oh, it was well, on the in the film, it's not the live version, but on the disc, it's the live version, right? Or is that shortened too? I forget. No, this guy.
I hear it's shortened. It's not 6 minutes.
No. Yeah.
And here we go. We're going into Mary Had a Little Lamb here, so.
There, that looks like some footage. That was some footage that was
from that we saw on Three Legs. The Three
Legs,
video.
Yeah, on the yeah. Three Legs video film. That's exactly yeah. what that was from.
Yeah,
where? Yeah, that's Three Leg. Yeah, or Heart of the No Three Legs.
Heart of the Country as well.
Heart of the Country as well. Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, yeah. So social commentary going on here. Animals in the zoo, which you know,
right.
people, you know, that could be a metaphor for us.
Yeah. yeah. Whatever happened to? Anyways, it's really cool to see, you know, these early footage, these early shots of Paul and Linda.
Right, here we go right to a little
Mary now.
Yeah. Which, and this is a truncated performance as well, too, you know. This isn't the full song.
No.
He leaves that last verse out.
Mm-hmm.
Much to my chagrin, this is like my guilty pleasure. I could listen to this song 25 times in a row and still not
that's
get
great.
Tired of it.
No, that's really cool. You know, and you can see yeah, different you know Linda's hair is a little different on you know on each different take. You know, they're all wearing different outfits. You know, 1 minute she's on the organ, the next minute or piano, yep. the next minute she's you know doing the tambourine. You know, so
this one though, I mean with the. The amount of videos for this song.
There's already six videos or five videos. You know?
Well, let's count them down. Oh, and let's talk about this one from this right. performance, right? Bruce right. McMouse.
Right.
You've got the barnyard.
James Paul.
James Paul McCartney.
McCartney, right.
The carnival, the clown costume
right.
one.
Yes.
Three.
Yeah, the barn one. There's the, a barn, another
the
barn one.
The barn one.
Yep.
And the Flip Wilson performance
right
I think,
but
too.
I think then, we're given four different versions on the
in the box that we're given
the box Right.
Yeah, Flip Wilson. You have it right there.
Yeah, let me
I like the Flip Wilson ones. I think is my favorite. I like that one. That's the one with the trippy one where their shirts change colors.
Right.
I dig the Flip Wilson version.
You know. Here we go. We got the music videos. We got Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Oh, the cartoon. The cartoon one.
Right. We had the countryside one.
Right.
And we got the desert. Then we got Barn, and then we got Psychedelic. So we get four different versions of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
So is that the Flip Wilson one isn't considered on that one?
I'd have to go back and check it out, you know.
Oh, Psychedelic. No, that's the Psychedelic one. That's the Psychedelic one.
Right.
So
it's really cool. You get to see behind the scenes of the family life. You know, you get Mary there. It's really cool seeing her clap her hands, trying to get the, you know, all the lambs back in their fences here. So, I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah,
you know, this whole way of life. I don't think I would like to live like that, but,
but they did.
They did. Yeah.
See, this is the last verse cut out now, right. Just to the end of this. Yeah, you saw a lot of this footage in Wingspan too. A lot of this specific footage we saw in Wingspan towards the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I was part of Paul McCartney's band, I don't know if I'd really care to play this.
You would, you know, too. You'd say, yes, sir, can I have some?
No, I don't know. I have to probably put my foot down. Okay, so here we go. We got Blue Moon of Kentucky. Great harmonica playing by Denny Lane on this, you know. So then we're going to actually see some kind of interaction with this Blue Moon here, and it's going to go down into the Bruce Springsteen household here in a few minutes. So there it is. You know, so they did do a couple covers during this tour, and this was one of them.
Sure.
Yeah. But Sywell, I mean, it's an incredible drummer. I mean, I don't know if this band, you know, I don't know how. I don't know. I look at this particular band, and it's great. You know, I'm not taking anything away from them. But when I look at that '76 tour band, I just see, I see Stardom there. I see I see Garage Band here.
And you see professionalism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was an embryonic period of the band, but now, you know, we've been given a chance to reassess it. And maybe are people overstating it a little bit? Right. Maybe. But it's still good. I mean,
right.
For what it was at the time,
yeah.
It was still
good. I mean, they've even admitted that they're not really actually really proud of their playing, you know, throughout this tour, or actually while they were filming, and they went back and they checked it out, you know, and they said that they weren't really actually, you know, proud. I mean, obviously we know that Linda was still learning, you know. Sure. Henry is a feel kind of player, you know, so he's going to play what he feels and not always go exactly by script when he's on the stage.
No, I mean, these were true pro. He was in Joe Cocker's Grease Band, and now he's playing, you know, this.
Right. So,
you know, but, you know, is it Blue Moon of Kentucky or Sea Moon of Kentucky?
Yeah. So, yeah, Denny, I didn't realize Denny Lang was such a great harmonica player. You know, he really kicks ass on harmonica here. So now we're getting back to this animation bit, you know, it's getting back to the Eric Weiland here. Now, before obviously we know that this was put on the shelf, after his part was completed. So I believe in the early 90s, he fell ill, and, he, you know, his daughter reached out to Paul and said, hey, can my, you know, father see the finished product before, you know, his death. So Paul agreed. He sent the VHS, I believe it was on, and he got to see the finished product. So, and he agreed, yeah, this probably should not have been released, you know.
So the director's daughter reached out to Paul.
Wow. The animated director.
The animated director, and said, "Oh, can my dad see the finished thing?" Wow.
So now that being said, well, we'll get back to that here. We'll hold off on the rest here, so we'll see where we're at, because now Blue Moon Kentucky is probably just about over. Yeah, I really dig. So we're going to get into.
I am your singer now, which is again live has worked so much better here.
Right. And it's really cool. This is another song that's been that I've come to appreciate more over time. You know,
I'm gonna save some of my comments on this one.
Same here. I'm not gonna give all my comments away because of our Rank the Tracks for Wildlife. Yeah. But it's cool. You're watching this, and you know Linda does her bit, and then you hear the applause coming in for her. So I'm kind of like curious if that was like added in, that's you know, during post production.
I think that is post production sweetening.
Yeah.
I will say though, just in terms of the context of the record, like I had said the other night with Heart of the Country kind of opening up side two, Nice on Ram.
Right.
This opens up side two of Wildlife nicely too. Mm. It's just a nice little 2 minute quick thing. Another early childhood memory for me musically is putting this on and just going through those early McCartney records and hearing this nice little ballad. I mean, it wasn't going to set the world on fire, but I always thought it was a nice, pleasant song.
Yeah. Let me see. We got a very revealing outfit there.
And I think what's different here live is Paul obviously was going to sing with Linda the whole time. On the record, you know, they both take their turns. But both of them together were going to sing this song. He wasn't going to let her sit and sing solo on her own here.
No.
Of the game, you know?
Yeah, so this is Paul, you know.
You know, we're years away. We're years away from Cook of the House territory.
But she still holds her own. You know,
absolutely.
I give her credit for being out there. I mean, this was not easy, I would imagine, for her.
No, I know she says in that one of the books, you know, she, as Wings grew, you know, she enjoyed playing the larger venues better than these small ones. Which for obvious reasons, because, you know, there's more people, but there's not as many eyes on you, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In a venue like this, this is probably a small, you know, theater in, you know, Amsterdam, where there's, you know, 2,000, 3,000 people tops.
Right.
So that pressure is amplified on you to perform.
She had nothing to lose. I mean, I don't think the pressure was on her. I mean, obviously her confidence had to continue.
Oh, long hair again.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're getting, into the interactions with the animated.
Yeah, this is my favorite part of the film, this stuff.
Yeah. Don't even understand what Henry's saying there.
Well, he's a Scotsman. You can't understand what those people say anyway. Love the Scots, though.
Yeah.
This is cool. I mean, this is just seeing, like, the human and the animated stuff.
Again, you know, there's talk about them, how they just really didn't enjoy trying to act out, you know, or pretending to act out with, you know, with the animation going on at the same time, you know. You know, I think there was talk of them even trying to do a couple of song and dance numbers, you know, with the animation, with the mice, you know, so.
Cool ring.
Yeah. Great look.
You want to
produce obviously this stuff was filmed later on, you know, not during the tour, you know.
Yeah, this is all on some set. Probably Elstree Studios, I'm sure.
Right.
Alan or anybody can. Elstree usually was the place they did all that filming. Oh, so Seaside.
We're getting into Seaside Woman now. Again, this is, I believe this was done afterwards as well. As you can see the lighting.
You can tell the lighting. Exactly. This is all post.
Right.
This is
cool. Again, another cool video. I would imagine that this is the video they would show during the actual performance. You know, during the live show.
During the concert, yeah.
Right.
And this is just, you know, they were in Jamaica and they just love the reggae stuff.
Absolutely.
I prefer B-side to C-side, personally. I like that
really
song. I do. I enjoy that better than this.
Yeah, so you can see the longer hair with Paul, so you can tell that this was a this was filmed afterwards.
Totally. I don't think he's ever had it that long ever since
this time. That might be the record right there.
It's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be. You might think his kids looked at this stuff now, or his grandkids are like, hey, grand dude.
Yeah, right.
Hey, grand dude, what's with the hair, man?
What's with the hair? Seaside Woman is, I think, possibly, you know, or probably in her top three tracks that Linda has written and, you know, has lead vocals on. I really enjoy Seaside Woman, even though I'm not the biggest reggae fan.
For me, that's Love's Full Glory is my favorite of hers.
Mm. Well, Love's Full Glory is mine, too. And then, you know, followed by Oriental Nightfish. But that's really not singing. That's more of,
yeah,
you know,
that's more atmospheric
narration.
Yeah.
But I really dig I really dig Henry's facial expressions throughout this whole show. But then he just seems like really laid back, you know.
Right, Susie in the Red Stripes, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to be Ricky in the something or other. Didn't they want to be that too? They wanted to be Ricky in the something or others. Mm.
Yeah, funny stuff. But going back to the animation part of, so after he was able to see his that video, the complete finished product, you know, unfortunately he passed, and then
yeah,
I think
in
the early 2000s, I believe, maybe it had been 2011, maybe, not early 2000, but anyway, so his daughter, then Maggie Thornton, put all of these sketches. I would assume it was these sketches.
She
put them up on auction.
Oh.
But guess who blocked it?
Paul
blocked it, yeah, claiming
when were they put up?
I believe it was 2011.
Okay.
So, yeah, so Paul found out about it. He blocked it, and he claimed that he did not know that that he had these sketches, which, you know, going back and doing research, it looked like it was Paul that was the one that gave Eric these sketches for,
right,
you know, for him to, you know, bring the animation to life, you know. So, so whether or not that these are the original sketches or not, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know if they were talking about that in McCartney Legacy or not. But
I don't know. I mean, they're on MPL letterhead. I mean, I'm sure that they probably were.
Right.
But,
so the, you know, Maggie claims that, you know, her father had, you know, it's been in their possession for decades by this point in time. So, you know, yeah, I mean, they would be his. Okay. Now we're taking another commercial break here. And here's, we got Soily again, which we assume is Paul, and there's Swoony, which we assume is Linda. Now they're inviting all of their friends to take part in this concert. And we see Bruce McMouse here really getting into it.
Yeah. There's Paul doing that mouse thing.
Yeah.
As we hear the Uncle Albert. Now, I just don't know if that's Thrillington or new recording. It's got to be Thrillington. It's got to be the
Thrillington. What are your thoughts on the animation here?
I think the animation is, you know, I think it's good. I don't think it's, I think to me it looks like a typical cartoon, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think it really looks, where it really shines, though, with some of those earlier scenes. Like this. Like whenever whenever it's juxtaposed with the live,
mm-hmm,
you know, the in-person stuff, it just, the animation pops.
Right.
For me.
Linda flirting again.
Yeah. you know, to me, I mean, I'm not the biggest cartoon person. Mm-hmm. I enjoy them. But to me, a cartoon is a cartoon to me.
Yeah. Animation, Andy. Animation.
Cartoon.
That's the new PC.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't do that. Sorry. Those of you that know
that, that's just so teasing with you anyways. So here we got My Love now. So this is the My Love that they performed you know, before they actually record My Love As We Know It Now.
As a song, as a proper
right,
song.
Right. So with this My Love, you get Linda adding her two cents to whenever Paul says My Love, then she sings My Love.
Call and refrain.
Right, exactly.
Call and refrain.
Yeah, which I kind of dig. I kind of dig this, you know, Linda.
I'm sorry. Call and response.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of dig that version.
I think, yeah, because, yeah, that was how they did it live before they recorded it proper. Now, was this the fateful time on tour where, you know, Henry wanted to play some other kind of solo and Paul was like, no, do it, you know, and then ended up doing his own thing?
Maybe. But then, obviously, when you hear this solo, it's nothing like the solo that you get, you know, on the finished product.
No, because it was still, you know, I honestly think that he's referring to the performance on James Paul McCartney, maybe, with that. Although, I don't know, because the record was already out by then, so he was already just playing what he already recorded. So this might be, the solo might not have really been, you know.
No, the solo is really weak on this performance here, in my opinion. You know, I mean, you can tell where he's kind of going in that direction, but he really fine-tunes it here, you know, when he records it for Red Rose Speedway. The solo, that is.
Right, and maybe when they were recording it properly, maybe that's in the studio, he told them, hey, do it this way. You know, maybe it might have just been a studio thing.
No, that's where, you know, Henry said, hey, can I try something different? So, you know, and then he brings this on. I think it's really cool that they included, you know, this film footage there, you know, during the show.
Oh, yeah. Again, for 1972, to give an audience a visual background was pretty groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Paul on the keys there.
See, his vocals here, I think his vocals are, this is one of his stronger vocal performance, this tour, this particular tour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything I've heard from it, because I, you know, I've heard those tracks from the big box set. Yeah, and I think they're great.
Oh, my God, they're tremendous.
Yeah.
Little mouse crying here. The My Love, you know, the proper promotional film, though, that actually was done closer to when the album came out, because, again, the crazy long flowing mullet is in full smoky smoke machines started up. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, totally a early 70s vibe there, you know?
Right. That was pretty, pretty brave of Linda, too, to wear such a low cut, you know, outfit, you know. Adding a little more sex appeal to the show, I guess.
Huh? Oh yeah, yeah. For an animated film, hey.
Yeah. Hey, you gotta have stuff for the kids, and you gotta have stuff for the dads too, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, during this, you know, you watch her, and she still seems a little bit not so sure of herself.
Oh, of course.
You know.
Well, for all the lovers in the house, as they
yes, like. Exactly. So I think that's it for My Love, and then here we go. This is during post as well. You got to get Cywell in there for a bit. Got to get his little part. Yeah. I mean, it looks like they're having a decent time doing this. I mean, I'm kind of curious the time frame, because, like I said, I mean, this all took place over an 18-month span.
18-month period.
Yeah. Right.
When do we know when was the project finally shelved? 74-ish?
Yeah, I'll get to that here closer to the end.
But
here we go. We're now into Maybe I'm Amazed.
Right, which still very interesting to hear those live early versions of Maybe I'm Amazed, because he really hadn't perfected it like he did eventually in 76.
Or 76? Okay.
Yeah, right. Because the song now, when you hear it live in these early Wings shows, the song kind of just peters out.
Right.
It doesn't have that really classic.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't make it any less great.
No, no. But I think that just adds to Jimmy McCullough's brilliance, you know, as a guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe didn't have the confidence in Henry to do that, you know, that last coda there towards the end, you know.
We've got to see that Jimmy book. We're going to get that Jimmy book.
Oh, come on, Paul. Let's get that. Let's go, Paul. I think he did give an update saying he's just waiting on final approval of the pictures, I believe, or something like that. He's waiting for some kind of final approval before he gets the ball going for putting the book together.
Good deal.
Yeah.
No, Denny's all sweated up there a little bit.
Oh, yeah. It's all hot and smoky.
Marshall.
I mean, these aren't big, huge, stadiums or anything
3,000,
like that.
3,000
people. So these are theaters, really.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Did you visit? Did you get to see any of these theaters?
The ones. Oh yeah, the ones in England. Sure.
Yeah.
The Galmont and all the ones, the Royal Court Theater that he did the fundraiser for when he played there in 79. Yeah, it's tons.
Gotcha. Mm.
You know, a lot of them are closed now, but there's a few still going.
Right.
You know, the Liverpool Philharmonic, which is right there, which is right next to Lippa.
Okay.
And that's the pub where Paul and James Corden did their thing.
Right.
I had many a pint in that place.
That's very cool. Now this is something you would see at a Kiss show right here. This was done before Kiss actually. So this was really cool. I dig this part right here. This is like the, you know, Henry and Denny really rocking out. This is really cool. Later on, Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley would do stuff like that during Kiss shows.
Yeah, it's still very, 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 still now, you know, towards the end, this is probably towards the end of the live concert, and he has to center his set around the strongest piece that he has at this time, which is obviously Maybe I'm Amazed, you know. That's the bona fide, you know, hit that he knows he has. So he probably closes his shows, you know,
with that, and then comes out with the encores.
Right. I don't know how I could be comfortable wearing a jacket without a shirt, though, like that. That'd be sweaty.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, here we go. Kind of just truncated ended. Yeah, here. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that classic McCartney, you know, little piano keyboard at the end. Ding-a-ding, that we get.
Right. Right.
You're back.
So after everything was shot, you know, they started editing stuff, and they thought that the show itself wasn't very interesting. And so that's why they go back and they film some extra spots and to tie the loose ends, you know. And it's cool that they had the audience, throughout the show too, to see how they got, you know, excited about the show. This would have been so kick-ass to see them live here during this time.
Oh my god. And then here we get this kind of slowish version of High High High.
Right. Yeah, so this would be, I think, would be the considered the first encore. Yeah.
Right, with this, and then Long Tall Sally, there's the
Right, yeah. Yeah, Long Tall Sally, yeah. So going back to the reason this being shelved or whatever. So, you know, 18-month span, so you're into 74. So this version of Wings had already dissolved by the time, you know, the accountants and Paul's manager at the time, Brian
Brawley.
It's been written that, you know, he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of his own money on this.
Who, Paul or Brian?
Paul. Yeah, Paul.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, he had it.
So, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, that version of Wings is not around anymore, so why would you...
Yeah, why are you going to go... They're not there, they're gone.
Yeah, why would you put that out? So
plus,
stop,
too, I got to remember, why would you go
keep putting money into it. Why would you keep putting money into it if you know you're going to show this on TV and you're not going to see them?
You know? No, and you know, I'm sure, too. You got to remember too. I'm sure, you know, everybody was younger then, and he probably was really pissed at them still for leaving, you know, and before they went to Lagos to do a Band on the Run. So he's like, you know what, the hell? That was with that band. I'm done with those guys. Me, Linda, and Denny are going to do this new thing. And that was then. And, you know, that's, you know, at the time, you know, it's, you know, ego is very big. You know, those guys left. I'm pissed off at them. You know, we did this thing, but screw it. And that's, I think that was a Heather in the audience there.
I was just going to say, it looked like a Heather for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised she was allowed to go to the concert. Got a girl crying. We got this like mid-tempoed version of High, 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 which is interesting. That is still, I mean, I think the other live version.
Plus, you don't get that, you know, that beginning like you do So, and it's funny because this is the band that did that, you know, recorded that song.
And you're getting this kind of like mid-tempoed ballad, rocker version of it. Mid-tempo.
So, and this is where, you know, it's kind of reverse where I think that the actual recording is better than
the live
version, which is, you know, kind of, you know, disappointing in a way because it's usually the other way around.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
So cool. So cool that he busted back that out into the set lit in 2013.
Oh, it was so cool to see him.
See High, High, High as an encore, man.
That was definitely a highlight. Yeah, definitely.
Here, take my $250 for High, High, High alone. Here. That's it. It's funny when he talks about this in the documentary. He's like, well, we put High, High, High out. And of course, they banned it.
Right. They go, they banned it. So I'm curious then, if they ban it and they don't get played on the radio, how is he able to do that live? You know?
Well, radio and live is two different. That's two different.
Okay.
That's two different.
Right.
Well, I mean, radio, you're talking about the BBC and everything else. Right. So, you know, unless it would be on pirate radio, which pirate radio was already gone by 72, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe Radio Caroline was still around. I don't know. But, yeah, live, there's no laws, I guess. Well, maybe there's different laws for.
Yeah, I'm just curious how that live. Works.
I think radio is different. Radio is a whole different animal with that, you know, because it's the BBC. And really, live, I mean, it's the venue. It's the venue, the promoter, and, you know, the people that own the place. They're not adhering to any kind of, you can't play a song that was banned. You know, it's their own place.
Right.
You know, now if they're playing it some kind of public thing, you know, then that would be different, I guess. Mm. But, come on, it was 1972. It was High, High, High. Come on. Bodygun, polygon, whatever the word is.
What do you think? I think it's bodygun. It sounds, I think it, during this show, it sounds like he's saying bodygun here.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah. I think it's probably bodygun.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, if you're going to, you know, perform a song like that or write a song like that, you know, what's wrong with that is saying bodygun, you know what I mean? It's, you're already, you know.
High, high, high.
Yeah, body exactly.
Gun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Take off your face and recover from that trip you've been on. You know, you're already, you know, talking about
this
drugs.
This is the BBC, which already flipped out in 1967 because they had the words, I'd love to turn you on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And here we go with the finale.
Yeah, so was this Long Tall Sally now?
Long Tall Sally, yeah. Good little crowd, foot stomper for sure.
Yeah, you know, this tour here, I think they did about 20 tracks or 20 songs on this. 18 to 21, I think it was. That was the huge.
The right.
So we got a good amount here. We got, what, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I think we got 14 tracks here, you know. So we got most of the show.
This is the one where the confetti comes out.
Yeah, right. And then
this
is Henry
going down. This is some of the other footage that did escape out into the circulation, you know, for other people to see.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Confetti and balloons. Happy New Year.
So it was really cool that this was, you know, completed, you know, put out, you know, here we are, we're at the end of the show. And, I, you know, it's nowhere near, as cool as the Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus, which, you know, that's another thing that was put on the shelf for 30 years.
You know,
it finally came out
in 98, I think.
Right. And, but yeah. It's out. It's cool. You know, and then we're going to be hearing, we're going to see a little shot here. Interesting shot here in a second, you know, but,
yeah.
And, so now you know what.
Hey,
by him doing that, we know he's promoting Red Rose Speedway.
That's what's coming, man. Yeah, that's cool. Exactly. That's a cool ending. Yeah, right. That's it, man. MPL Communications already established.
Mm-hmm.
Man, 2018 credits. Yeah.
Yeah. So the people that worked on it.
Yeah.
You know, prior to
Scott Roger, that's the guy. Thank you, Scott. That's the guy that makes it all. That's the guy who has the master plan.
Okay.
For all these archive releases. He did a great interview years ago. Have you ever seen it where he talked about how they schedule McCartney product? Have you ever seen that?
Well, we need to work on getting him on the show then.
He talks about, like, you know, there's like tier one releases and then tier two releases.
Gotcha.
Which are really, really informative because, and then in terms of how do we do the archive stuff, how do we push Paul's new stuff? It was a really, really cool interview. I'll send it to you.
Please do. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the Bruce McMouse show, you know.
Capital.
I want to give a shout out to friend Adrian Sinclair for giving me whatever information he had. I'm sure there's probably more on it, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, to that book, that McCartney Legacy book, and reading what all the hard work that those two guys put into the book, you know. So
absolutely.
But yeah. So that was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was great. This was great to review this again and really watch it again. I mean, we both bought the box sets 2 years ago, whatever it was, and I watched it once or twice, you know, when I got it, and then looked at it again. I mean, because you buy these things, and it's like, are you going to watch this thing every single day? No.
Oh, no.
You know, but it's nice to have a purpose to revisit these things and look at them and kind of refamiliarize ourselves with the context then and how it's perceived now, you know? Right. And listen, we're in the golden age right now of getting this stuff out there, and this is just another part of all that stuff, looking at this film and reappraising it. And then listen, if you haven't bought it, get it. I mean, we know that the Big Barn box, that's been long gone for years.
Right.
I think it's still going probably for $2,000 on eBay, you know?
No, I haven't looked recently.
Do you know, are the individual sets still available? Wildlife?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Those were never a limited release like that big set was.
Right, right.
That was the limited release. You know, the suitcase was a limited release. You know, so.
But something like this. These
are still available.
They're still available. Like, we've gotten so much over the last couple of years. Like this 71 to 73 box set has so much stuff in it. Like I enjoyed Flaming Pie, the box, but I don't love it as much as I love this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's great. It's got great stories in there.
This was really the big bang for your buck for me. This and Ram really.
Was it. And
you know, yeah.
Yeah, maybe Wings Over America with all the stuff in there too.
Right. But
Ram and this 71, right. 73, these two box sets, I mean. Right.
The bonus things alone for this set were you got the reconstructed double album of Red Rose Speedway, and you got the bonus tracks, which, you know, included, you know, Live and Let Die, you know, 1882,
right.
Best Friend, you know, The Mess. You know, I think both versions of the studio and the live. Go back and check. You got, you know, three different versions of 1882. You got, like, the studio version of a stripped back studio version of Live and Let Die. As well, so this was really,
and then you get Bruce McMouse thrown.
You get Bruce McMouse
thrown into it,
and you get four versions of the "Mary Had a Little Lamb" video too.
You get like Wings 71 to 73. That's what you're getting. You're getting the whole. You're getting nearly everything. I mean, you're getting James Paul McCartney.
Yeah, which not the whole thing, unfortunately, but is an edited.
Yeah, you're getting all that. So for a band that really did not really hit their stride until 75, 76,
right.
Man, they produced a lot of stuff in that 2 year time frame to try to make themselves a band. I mean, films, live performances, singles. Right. I mean, they were really, really a fruitful couple of years there in that embryonic stage. And yeah. It's nice that we have this to look back on now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was an okay idea. I think if it was more professionally Disney professional,
well, yeah,
if you will, it, you know, if it looked better, if the animation looked better, because I mean, the animation does look a little cheap, I think, but okay. You can pay for, you know, if you're not willing to,
yeah, you're not going to spend that Disney.
You're not going to get Hanna-Barbera, you know, quality stuff. Then, you know, what do you expect? You know,
this is a project that really had to. If it was going to come out, it had to happen really, really quick. Like, you know.
Yeah, this was a spur of the moment deal right here. Project.
It really, and again, when you're talking animation and stuff, it takes time to produce all this stuff. But, you know, by the time, you know, you let, you know, all these months and months pass by, and then especially if you have a lineup change, what are you doing?
Exactly.
So, no surprise. He said,
you count your losses and you're on to the next project, which. You know, the information that Adrian Sinclair gave us was his next film project was a sci-fi project, film project. And that will be in part two of their McCarty Legacy series. So I'm really curious to see what that sci-fi project would have been.
Yeah. Well, you know, Magneto and Titanium Man? I don't know.
Hey, there you go. To the Queen's chagrin, but
she doesn't like that song.
Oh, she cannot stand this. That's not one of her favorites. No,
sorry, Queen.
No, so we've had a running joke about that song ever since the first time she was on Two Legs years ago.
I'm gonna have to message her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this was good. Thank you, Andy, for making this part of it happen. You know, I know it's kind of a little spotty, but you know, you guys can still watch it, you know, real time, and you know, or you can just do the audio and listen to us yap, audio. And
this is our first attempt of doing like a let's watch it and comment. I know Tom and David years ago did a thing with Broad Street where they
it was just commentary
while the film played though too.
So
this was a first venture for us. You know, we'll probably if it looks okay, we'll end up doing this again. I'm sure with another visual thing with McCartney. I don't know what, but we'll figure something out.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome. So a lot of great things to come in the future. So looking forward to it. Now next, I believe we've got Jerry Murata next for coming up here. So the great drummer here who worked with Peter Gabriel, Orleans, worked as the drummer for the Press to Play sessions. So that was going to get some good information, hopefully, there about Press to Play. And, you know, not that we want to get any dirt, but we like to get some information.
Yes,
you
know? We would.
Some great insight from him. So stay tuned for that. Anyways, Andy, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Keep smiling, as Linda always says.
Keep smiling. I like it. So actually, you know what we saw today? We got the email that we are now officially on Pandora. So
another place you can find us. I thought we were, but I guess we weren't, but now we are. Okay.
Yeah, so we got the email. We're officially on Pandora, Spotify, Amazon, you know, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podcast. We are all over the place. So if you can't find us, you know, you're not trying. YouTube, please check out our YouTube channel. Like I said earlier in the show, please subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. We're really trying to build up our YouTube channel. So check us out there. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Two Legs Podcast, and you can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. So everybody, once again, thank you for your comments. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for liking all that stuff. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate you. Please keep those comments coming. So as always, everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Gobble, gobble.
Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan Z.